Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning, my friend. We have such a great show lined up with Tim Linnefelt, the Linnefelt Sports Report. Ann Kozulewski and Kelly Dozier will be here to tell us about the Lemoyne Chain of Parks Art Festival. And I've got Mary Deakle talking about Jazz for Justice. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. Come truck it up with me this week, and I'll save you money. Get your deluxe detail package, complete window tinting, and heavy-duty floor mats starting at $339.95.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
You'll save big bucks on the package, and I'll even throw in a great pair of free sunglasses. Come on, truck it up with us this weekend, and bring your cars, too. You're going to love it.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Hello there, my friend. Glad you're with me on this lovely Saturday here in April. What a day, huh? We've got such a great lineup of activities around town. For those of you listening from outside of the Tallahassee area, perhaps you're online there with TuneIn or one of the other many ways that you can listen to our lovely little radio show here. Coming to you from the studios of Alcom Marketing and Advertising. Gracious hosts that they are, appreciate their help in all of this. But with you being out of town, you may not know so many of the things that are going on are happening simultaneously. And it's getting to be where it's not a question of what's going on, it's how do we get it all in? How do we get to be a part of all of this cool stuff? We've got standing with us today, or sitting in with us today, Kelly Dozier and Ann Kozulewski, telling us about one of these activities, a fabulous event, the annual Chain of Parks Art Festival. Such a great celebration of this town and art and community, and we'll talk at length with them in the second hour of the show. Hope that you'll stay tuned with us for that. And a shout-out to all of our friends here in town listening on 93.3 FM, our home station. The lovely folks, Barry Kay, a lovely man, in fact, and his crew that make 93.3 a great place to listen for talk. In fact, Freedom 93, as they're known, where Tallahassee comes to talk. I think that's what they like to say. Well, here you are, and we're talking about things like a Chain of Parks Art Festival, and then we have with us as well Mary Deakle, who's going to talk about this great little activity that's been going on for many years. It's a benefit for the Legal Services of North Florida. It's a nonprofit organization. Their event called Jazz for Justice. So that's happening, and she'll give us an update on all of those artists that are going to be performing. And that's happening down there as well later in the afternoon on Sunday from 4 to 7 at the Adams Street Commons. So we'll learn about that. I've got Tim Linnefelt, who is standing by with another edition of the Linnefelt Sports Report. So we're going to learn about Florida State athletics, especially football and baseball. Old Jameis Winston, what he's up to, and how about Tallahassee's very own Sue Semereau, Coach Semereau with Florida State women's basketball, and what a great season they had in that final run to the finish, and unfortunately they were interrupted in their quest, but what a great demonstration of their athletic ability. And of course, you know, Sue was on the show here a few weeks back, talked about the quality of the players. I mean, these are just really good people who are good to one another and really care about not only their performance on the court, but off court. And all of that, I think, is a bit of a trickle down. I think that the coaching staff, Sue, absolutely have instilled that among their players. And we're seeing that happen with FSU baseball. Mike Martin has been at the helm for all these many, many years. And you talk to the people who've played with him over the years, the players, the coaching staff, not the least of which would be Buster Posey, right? And man, you find out it really is that. It's the quality, the caliber, you'd say, of the people who really bring that together and instill in their players this drive, this passion for not only being a top performer, but being just a person who you can trust and believe and work with, and after a while, you just come to like them. And so, isn't that a blessing when you're working with people that you actually like working with? Wow, we can't always say that, I suppose. Not all of us. You hope for that, but nonetheless, that's what we've got going on here, and we're glad that you're a part of it. I look around town at some of the stories that we've been following. You know, the county wants to fund the building of this bridge down there in Wakulla, in which it would actually amount to the reconstruction or brand new bridge there, Natural Bridge. And folks trying to figure out how we can do that at the same time, not interrupt the flow of traffic. And those local residents are not happy because it would amount to them having to make a 28-mile trek around just to get home at night. So that's an ongoing discussion, but it looks like they're going forward. The county this week gave approval to this construction to the Florida Department of Transportation. It's going to cost them about $1 million, and all of the alternatives to that, logically you think, well, I'd just build a temporary bridge while you're restoring. And those objections to that idea have to do with the exaggerated cost. You add about another mil to the whole project. So they're in a bit of a dilemma. But as of this meeting this week, it sounded like that was going to go forward. You know, we're talking about the art festival. Another neat little story came by way of the Tallahassee Democrat and Ryan Daly over there writing about this woman, Ann Hempel, who is an artist and has her own studio. Well, she's one of those participating in the art festival. That's a great little story. She and her husband, her two kids, very, very, to me, a very good example of Tallahassee, right? She's an inspired artist, and she will be there. You can read about that in the newspaper. It's a great, great story. It came out Thursday, I guess, or Wednesday earlier this week. Ann Hempel, one of the artists over there. Well, we've got a lot of activities going on, as I've said, and so we're fortunate in that we have the very capable Katie Gibson standing by. She's going to bring you events in a minute. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with Tim Linnefelt and the Linnefelt Sports Report for you. And I should also point out, if you've missed any of the shows we have done for you, you can always go to our website, TallahasseeTalks.com. We've archived every single one of those programs. You can even search a name if you're looking for the interview we did with Sue Simmerow or, maybe Eric Barron or as far back as First Lady Ann Scott. Well, those shows are all there for you. TallahasseeTalks.com. Check it out. And now, standing by, here's Katie Gibson.
The Shakespeare Festival will be happening at Cascades Park today until 10 p.m. The event will feature all things Renaissance related, such as face painting, fencing, crafts, costume play, live music, dance, and a special appearance by Sonnet Man, who turned Shakespeare sonnets into hip-hop music. There will also be a performance of A Midsummer Night's Dream, Summer of Love, tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30. FSU's School of Dance presents Days of Dance, with a performance tonight at 8 p.m. in the Nancy Smith Fitcher Dance Theater on FSU's campus. Today is your last chance to catch the FSU Circus this spring. Catch either the 2 p.m. or 8 p.m. performance of their show, Action. The Tallahassee Film Society will be playing two very interesting and exciting films this weekend at the All Saints Cinema in the Tallahassee Amtrak Station. Playing today at 4:30 and tomorrow at 4 and 6 is Cupcakes, which tells the story of a Tel Aviv baker who ends up in the cutthroat world of the pop music business with a group of her friends. Playing tonight at 7 is Hope and Glory, a coming-of-age story about a young boy growing up around London during World War II. The Springhouse Institute will hold a showing of the latest pulp paintings by New York artist Dean Ross this Thursday from 6 to 9 p.m. Meet the artist, tour the house and grounds, and enjoy live music from the Tallahassee duo of Seth and Riles, as well as hors d'oeuvres, adult beverages, and other refreshments. This has been your Events in a Minute for this week. For more information, visit TallahasseeTalks.com. For Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, I'm Katie Gibson.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
It's a wonderful weekend here in Tallahassee. Lots of sporting things going on, and we've got Tim Linnefelt with us. Tallahassee Talk's very own contributor to the Linnefelt Sports Report. Tim, how are you, sir?
I am doing very well, sir.
You look just fantastic for a man who has sat through, what was it, 12, 13 innings?
Have we lost? 12 long innings as far as they go.
Folks, did you hear about this? Florida State, University of Florida, squaring off on the diamond, as we say, you know, over there and running 12 innings of baseball, until they finally, I think one of the teams finally must have just said, hey, enough of this.
Maybe that was it.
Just
it
go
was
to a, bed now.
It was, it was 12 glorious innings. And then, you know, it's great value. You pay for 9 innings,
dear
and
Lord,
you get 12.
That's
so,
right.
Bonus. So what are you going to do?
And bonus points.
And you know, maybe there are some pitchers who say that, you know, I've had enough of this. I'm tired. And then you just serve up a fastball, you know, down the heart of the plate that can get sent
right
over the left field
Would
wall.
Would you please just put this thing to bed? Yeah.
So yeah, but that was a fun moment. In fact, I'll let you in on a little secret here.
Please, just between us.
Sure. Yeah. The right before the bottom of the 12th inning started, I was running low on Diet Coke, so I went back
thing.
To the. They have a little refrigerator in the back of the press box where you
yes.
get a drink or whatever.
Yes.
So I went and I said, grab it before the inning starts, and it was right before Quincy Neporte, the kid who would hit the home run, was stepping in the batter's box. So I went and grabbed it. It takes not very long at all. As I'm walking back out. A fellow reporter type, I won't name him, but a fellow reporter type said to me, you know what, I might as well tempt fate and miss the at-bat and say, you know, because if I'm not looking, certainly something will happen. So I sort of laughed and said, yeah. And literally, I wasn't in my seat when it happened. I saw it. I was looking out the window, but I was walking to my seat when the Florida pitcher threw the pitch. And it was the first pitch of the inning, and he just
bam
smashed it. And of course, it was gone, and that was the end of the game. And I turned around, and there was my cohort there. And we just sort of looked at each other and laughed. And I said, hey. And I told him, hey, if I knew that that was going to work, I'd have told you to do it three innings ago. But that's neither here nor there. But it was a really fun game. It was a big deal for Florida State to beat Florida. I don't know if you saw this, Brian, but this is the first time that Florida State has beaten Florida in football, basketball, and won the season series in baseball, meaning they took two or three games from them since, I think they said, 1979.
I did see
so
that.
It has been a hot minute. Kind of a cool little thing there.
Epic.
For sure. And a big deal for the baseball team, which especially in recent years has really struggled against the Gators. And so for them to kind of win it and to win that way, I don't know if you saw the clip, But Quincy Naporte, the first baseman, he really just put a heck of a swing on the ball, and he flipped his bat from probably home plate to the dugout. I'd never seen anything like it. He was on SportsCenter for it the next day. Just a lot into it. And you know, my own personal opinion on this is that you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, bat flips is the same as spiking the football or whatever. And you know, maybe you should do it, maybe you shouldn't. But I don't know, like emotion and rivalries and adrenaline in a big
at 12
spot,
innings. I think the man is deserving a little leeway.
That's what we do this for, right? That's the whole thing.
Right.
So I thought it was great. It was a cool moment. You could tell that it meant something to him.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was a pretty special. Pretty special thing.
Some great drama and a great win for Florida State fans, Florida State baseball. You know, of late, we'll talk about the last two or three years, so much of what Florida State athletics has brought to us has been of that nature, where you have these amazingly close games, or you have these just down-to-the-wire sort of contests, you know, and we of course, think of Florida State football in that context, and the beloved Jameis Winston, who seemingly would show up at the right moment.
I tell you what.
And say, okay, we're going to win this game.
Yeah.
In fact, it reminded me your story of the championship.
Yeah.
Where you guys are all running down the escalator.
I did miss that one, being stuck on the escalator. In fact, I don't know if we've talked since then when we were at the Rose Bowl.
That's right.
Last year, for the second season. You know, I was going up the escalator to the press box, and I just sort of looked around. I was like, so we meet again, escalator. So it worked out okay. And
you foul machine, you.
and most unfortunately, it wasn't quite as much fourth quarter drama in that one. So the escalators weren't as packed.
But I will always
remember missing that kickoff return.
Folks, we're talking with Tim Linnefelt here, an extended edition of the Linnefelt Sports Report, an able sportsman, a sports reporter, a great journalist. And Tim, I have to tell you, over the years that you and I have been doing this, we've had so many great stories that have come our way.
Sure.
A lot of them off the field, we'll say. A lot of them are behind the scenes or in the locker room. You know, the personalities, the people that shape this whole enterprise. I mean, players and coaches and fans and all of those people that get involved. And I think that's the part of this that people maybe miss.
Sure.
That when you look at a team, you look at Florida State baseball, the amount of effort that goes into making that happen, it's astounding.
Well, and honestly, you know, and it's part of, you know, why I think doing this job sort of appeals to me is you know, like I like the games and I like the scores and I like the, you know, the statistics and all that kind of stuff. But what's really interesting to me is I think when you watch, you know, these events or watch these seasons, it's like anything. To succeed at an extremely high level, the way that you have to, I think, to be successful in major college football or major college baseball, or you know,
or in the
opera,
pros.
Yeah. or anything at all,
yep.
You have to be driven, I think, and have something in you that's uncommon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You have to be motivated, be, you know, have that sort of I don't know, that thing in you that is unsatisfied. You know, we talk about, you know, Michael Jordan and how he just couldn't handle losing. His, you know, his competitiveness was to the point of sociopathic. Yeah. And I don't think they're, you know, I'm not to say that all athletes are sociopaths. That's not what I'm trying to say at all.
We know anyway.
But there may be some ground for that. But
that
says, you know, watching somebody who's willing to put in the work, put in the effort, you know, eat the way they eat, work out the way they work out, train the way they train every single day.
Right.
It's not something that I think is common, and I don't know that they get enough credit for it. And so I think there's a lot of really good personalities, a lot of really good stories. You know, what is it? Is it, you know, your father pushed you? Is it that, you know, I don't know, there's a tragedy in your life or somebody inspired you? You know, everybody, I think, has a story of how they got to where they are. And I think there's some really cool ones, especially here at Florida State. And you know, you try to learn them and tell them as best you can.
That's the truth. Folks, we're talking with Tim Linnefelt here. The Linnefelt Sports Report, brought to you by the very good folks at A Country Rose Florist. And you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, coming to you from the luxurious studios of Alcom Marketing and Advertising.
This is really nice.
Our gracious host. Yes, we like it here. And so we encourage you to stay with us. I got more with Tim Lundefeld coming up right after this. Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Tim Lundefeld, the Lundefeld Sports Report here. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And talked a little bit about FSU baseball. Now, of course, football isn't far out of our perspective. And, of course, a lot of talk lately related to NFL draft and Jameis and his decision and all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of other things going on with FSU football, not to least of which would be the spring game, which just happened.
Still in the rearview mirror. Even.
Yeah, I mean, we're just coming away from that. Observations there. What did you see happen?
Well, first and foremost, I think the quarterback race competition, as it were, is obviously in the forefront. And we saw some really interesting things. I think if you're Sean McGuire, he's the junior,
heir apparent,
he's the fourth year junior. Look, he said after the game that he didn't have the kind of day that he wanted. He called it a 50-50 day, and said that he had some really good throws and some really stupid throws. Those are his words, not mine. I think that's probably fair.
Agree?
I think so. Yeah. I think that he made some throws that I thought looked really, really good. There was one, a third down, I think it was 17 or 18 throw, that he made over the middle that he placed. He had one receiver, and it was a sort of a mob of defenders, and he really threaded the needle, did a really nice job. And then there were other times in the fourth quarter, especially, where he had some open receivers and just missed them. So, that's going to happen. Yeah. I thought it was interesting in talking to Jimbo Fisher afterward that – he had said that they view this in the spring practice. It goes for about a month. They do three scrimmages, and the final one is the Garnet and Gold game. But they weigh them. It's a scrimmage.
Sure.
And he said that Sean played a lot better in those other two scrimmages than he did in this one. And look, the weather was bad on that day.
We had some guys sitting out. There's a bunch of guys.
The walking wounded in terms of injury. I think at one point they had as many as 25 scholarship players that were not able to practice due to injury. Yeah. I mean that's a third of your team right there. I'm not too concerned about that. I do think Jimbo Fisher said after the game that he believes Sean will be fine. I tend to agree. I think he'll be all right. I think anybody in the world is going to have a hard time following Jameis Winston. Mm. I don't think that's too controversial to say. Right. But I think he can do what they need him to do. And then the other side, and people were really impressed by the freshman, DeAndre Johnson, a true freshman, who he graduated early. He should be in high school right now.
Speaking of Jameis, I was a bit bewildered that his attorney, I guess it was, came out with this statement regarding Mr. Winston's ability or the appropriateness of him going NFL. I think I'm quoting this correctly.
He said he wasn't ready.
Not ready for the kind of pressure.
He said off the field.
Off the field. Well, okay. So, boy, that just opens up that whole can of worms. And my comment, in fact, my wife and I said to each other, okay, if you believe that, why would you want to make that public?
I mean,
just go to the guy and say, you really want to do this? Let me tell you what it's about.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of a strange thing. It just sort of seems sort of, out of...
Is that the kind of thing you want to talk about?
It's just kind of random to me, and I was like, okay. But I think he also came, I'll be honest, I didn't read too much of what he said, but I do believe he also came back around and said that, he thinks that and the Jameis is going to be fine. I don't know. There's a lot of layers there. I think at the end of the day, it's all building toward the Buccaneers are going to take Jameis Winston number one overall. And that he will be their quarterback. But you know, at this point in the game, you know, what's today? April 18th. You know, we're less than 2 weeks to the draft, but there's not a lot of events to fill airwaves and print copy internet copy or what have you between now and then. So people got to find a way to talk about something.
Sure.
So you know, and I think that's kind of where we are right now is just the. I wouldn't say the
well, I'm certain,
storm.
Too, that for those of you who are in this business and for those of us who stand on the sidelines, we are witness to a number of promising collegiate quarterbacks who get to the bigs, we'll say, and this just didn't happen. You know, we had several in recent history that just – you know, went from the we'll call it the smaller pond to the big pond, and maybe those pressures that are off field showed up in their on field performance, and maybe that's the point.
Could be. It's hard to say. I think it affects everybody differently. I think it's really hard to paint with a broad brush.
Yeah,
that gets back to I guess like the individual's kind of idea we were talking about in the last little bit here.
Yeah.
But man, I think that especially Jameis is just a different deal. I think it's the same. You know, I think. As kind of weird as the Heisman Trophy is and as, you know, the problems that people seem to have with it and how it's sucked in and all that, it really changes things. And being a Heisman winner is a big deal. You know, you saw it with Tim Tebow and the media coverage that he got. Johnny Manziel, obviously.
Right.
Jameis Winston as well. And so and for Jameis being such a, you know, a polarizing figure, and especially, you know, with his personality and all that kind of stuff, people are going to naturally gravitate just to what he's doing. You know what I mean? And they're going to pay attention even more closely. Now, couple that with the fact that he's extremely talented, the best college football player I've ever seen play in person, and is probably going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft and you know, the face of the franchise, and potentially more than that down the road. I mean, it's you know, it's like you're covering a presidential election.
Indeed. Well, in fact, we had that conversation with Ernie Sims here some time ago, and
Ernie the other day. He was out of practice. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. He's got a whole new gig he's doing now over there on the west side of town. But when we were talking with him here on the show, and he made that comment about it is entirely a different enterprise when you go pro. It is all business.
Yeah.
You're a commodity. You're not. Connected to a group of people who support you emotionally and socially and psychologically and everything else. I mean, you're really out there for sale in that way.
Yeah.
And because that's the case, here's a young man, and any of these young men that you point to, man, they don't have that now. They're really out there on their own. It reminds me, Sue Semra was here recently. Of course, we need to talk about. How about FSU women's basketball? What a great run they had.
Yes.
And during the leading up to that, I guess a couple of weeks before they were in the finals there, Sue was talking about the cohesiveness of her team and how they all really serve one another. And she said, these players really like each other. Yeah. Well, you know, what happens if you show up on an NFL team or any pro team?
Sure.
And you're not very well liked.
Well, it's cutthroat, man. I mean, think about it. You're, as a rookie, you know, 20, 21, 22-year-old kid, you show up, and there's already a guy on the roster who's been there for however many years, and your entire purpose is to take his job.
Yeah.
It's to put him out of business.
Yeah.
And that's you know, that's what it is. Now, the teams want to foster that competition because they think, rightly, that it pushes players to be better.
Better. Yeah.
But, I mean, talk about
it's
a cutthroat business.
Yeah.
You know.
You're the young guy coming in trying to take it away.
So don't expect a Christmas card and a fruit basket is what I'm saying.
Welcome. Yeah, the welcome may come to you, but it might not be all warm and fuzzy. Well, let's talk about women's basketball.
Sure.
Florida State women's basketball and Coach of the Year for, what was it, NCAA Coach of the Year?
Just about everybody who awards a Coach of the Year.
She has just – in 18 years that this woman has – been at this post, and what a great person, huh?
Man! I tell you, I really I'm biased, obviously.
She's
but,
a class
but
act.
I think she's really just a tremendous coach, a great person, and a really great ambassador both for FSU and the city of Tallahassee and the sport of women's basketball.
Hmm.
She's awesome. She's a really great part of this
game. It was a heartbreak to watch that game.
I tell you what.
Golly.
I was there.
On the run, and they were making it, and they were leading, and it's just like all of a sudden the wheels started to come off. And
I remember at I went up there. I traveled with them to cover the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, and I remember at one point in that game against South Carolina, made, I think, 11 straight shots from the field, and I want to say 15 of 16 to close the first half, and Florida State was still winning. And I said to myself, that's either a really good sign or a really bad sign. I'm not sure which one. It's tough. And you know, I was talking to some folks on the plane afterward when we were coming home that day.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know, you're not a Final Four team until you make the Final Four. Mm-hmm. That by definition, you have to be there. Mm. But, you know, Florida State went toe-to-toe. They led for nearly 37 of a possible – leading or tied – for almost 37 of a possible 40 minutes. They were there.
Yeah.
You know, sporting events like that, you see enough, it's a coin flip. It's whose shot goes in. It's whose footsteps out of bounds.
Right.
It's stupid stuff like that.
Right.
Just decide a game like that. They were
crazy.
Evenly matched.
Crazy.
You wish they had won, but, you know, sometimes you got to knock on the door for a while before you can break it down. And they're set up for another run next year for sure.
Talking with Tim Linnefelt. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
A great opportunity to get caught up with you. The Tim Linnefelt Sports Report, courtesy of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And as always, we look forward to your next opportunity to bring us up to date.
Hey, anytime.
Folks, that's what we got for the moment. Stay with me right after this. We got more coming up. Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot, TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Mary Deakle. She is the development director, resource developer, we'll say, of Legal Services of North Florida, an organization that for its many years has been helping poor people like me find legal representation in situations that are rather dire. So let's welcome Mary Deakle. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing today?
Nice to have you with us. I know you've got this fundraiser going on tomorrow. Tell us a little bit more about this organization.
Well, Legal Services of North Florida provides no-cost civil legal representation to domestic violence victims, seniors, children, people in danger of losing their homes, poverty-level clients over, actually, 16 counties in North Florida from 5 offices, but this is kind of like our home base here in Tallahassee.
And this has been going on a while. You guys aren't newcomers.
No, we're next year we'll be celebrating our 40th anniversary as a nonprofit agency in the community. And so we're looking forward to continuing to provide the services that are so greatly needed to so many people.
How does one go about retaining services if I'm in that situation you've described?
Well, there's several different ways. You can find out a lot of information about us on our website, which is lsnf.org. And you can find out where your local office, since we have 5 offices over 16 counties, and see the office that serves you. So you can either come to our office, make an application for our services. There's some paperwork to fill out. Bring along anything that you have that pertains to your case. We can make copies of it. And it goes into a pile that actually gets reviewed once a week. By our staff, and they look at those applications and see who we can serve. They make sure they're civil in nature and not criminal, and that we can do something to help, either with one of our staff attorneys or with one of our volunteers. We also have a hotline you can call for brief advice, and that number is on our website as well, or by calling one of our offices. And then you can also just ask for a application to be faxed to you if you would like.
And that website address again?
That is www.lsnf.org.
LSNF.org.
Like Legal Services North Florida.
Ah, simple. I'm glad you said that because, see, I'm not very good with acronyms. Okay. Well, that helps. Now, you got involved how long ago with this organization?
I've been working for legal services for over 20 years.
Really?
Yes.
What were you doing before that?
Well, I worked for the Public Radio Center here in Tallahassee as their development officer. I have also worked with...
WFSU?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Did you know Pat Keating over there?
Oh, yes. I know Pat for years.
Pat's a very good friend of mine.
Oh, good.
He won't admit that.
Well, he wouldn't.
No.
But no.
No, he wouldn't want people to know that. So we'll just keep that between us.
All right.
But Patrick is a stellar individual, in my opinion.
Yes, and actually I worked with Madison Hodges before that. And he's the one who really brought us the two large stations in our community with two different formats for public broadcasting. So he was a true visionary.
So you left the comfort and confines of WFSU and braved yourself in this new world.
Well, I wanted to work with poverty issues, and I really wanted to help people who were in true need.
Why?
It's just been a lifelong thing that I wanted to do, and I'm not the social worker type, so I'm not going to be a social worker with an agency, but I can use my skills to raise funds so that more of our attorneys and staff can provide services for more people. Last year, we served over 6,500 families.
Really?
Yes.
Is that how that works, that if I'm an attorney and I'm presented with a case and the individual can't pay, then I come to you or you come
actually,
to
the
me?
Actually, the client would come to us, the individual who needs our help, because we can't do it on behalf of somebody else. There's all these lawyerly rules out there.
Lawyers are good about rules.
Yes.
That's true.
But the person comes to us and makes an application. So you certainly can, if you are in the community and you know someone who needs help, and it can be your hairdresser, your housekeeper, your teacher.
So you reach out to those attorneys who have said, I'm available to you, and then you pay them for those
fees? Actually have a staff of attorneys on our staff who are well-trained in poverty law and family law issues. And then we have a cadre of over 300 private and governmental attorneys who volunteer their services with us as well. So sometimes the cases, we'll find the perfect case for a volunteer attorney who wants to take one or two cases a year.
Right.
Some of them work on our hotline, which is where they can come in one afternoon a week and answer calls from clients out there who have simple questions. You know, what does my lease say? What do I have to do with this situation? So they can answer those calls. Or they'll do a homeless clinic at the homeless center, or they're doing a veteran stand down next weekend, and they're down at the fairgrounds helping veterans.
Folks, if you don't know about that, the veteran stand down is a really cool thing. Because if you're a vet, especially if you are homeless, man, that's a place to show up.
It is.
Haircuts,
one-stop
psychotherapy, I mean, tax advice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, homeless people actually have tax issues, too.
And yes.
I may be among them very soon. Okay, well, so you have had this sort of passion then for helping those who are underprivileged, we say, or who find themselves on the low end of that income scale.
Huh? Well, and what I do is a small drop in the bucket to what people like our attorneys do. They spend an inordinate amount of time, talent. They don't work for what they could work for out in the public sector, and they give their lives to helping people who are in need.
39 years, Legal Services of North Florida. Now, you've got this fundraiser tomorrow that I believe is entitled Jazz for Justice. Tell us about that.
Well, this is our 19th year of Jazz for Justice, and we bring together wonderful musicians and also people who support us in the community to, one, celebrate legal services in North Florida and to raise money for our programs. This event has grown from the backyard of Dave CC Club 19 years ago on a very, very cold November day to now we're blocking off Adams Street with three different venues, and musicians are coming from Baltimore, Washington, D.C., New Orleans, and all around our community. So we're just grateful for all these people who come on their own dime. This is what's amazing to me. I have a group coming from New Orleans, a seven-piece band, who come here on their own. I have a woman and her.
You don't
her
pay them to do this.
I do not pay them. They do this as a gift for our
Who's
community.
That?
That's Daddy B.
Daddy B.
And then Mavis Waters. She is in town from Baltimore. Has come in to play, and bringing with her some other friends. It's just amazing.
It is,
we have Rohan Stevenson, who comes in from Washington D.C. and he does live art. Luckily, we do have our. the Four Points Hotel is putting them up, which is very sweet of them because they said, if these people are coming in to help our community, we at least we can do to give them a place to lay their heads.
Oh, that's Bo over there, our friend.
Yeah. You
know, he's the general manager. He was on the show here a couple of weeks ago.
And then we've got people like, you know, Randall Big Daddy Webster and Red Hot Java. He's played every year for 19 years, and he'll be in our new blues club, which will be inside Clyde's this year.
Cold Blues Band, Latin Attitude, and then a new addition, the Young Jazz Collective.
Oh, they're going to be very cool. It's kind of a new group for our folks to see and hear. They'll be on the Adams Street stage. Longinus Parsons will be performing for the VIP reception, which is anyone who gets patron tickets or sponsorships gets to come into that.
I love it. Okay, so this is tomorrow afternoon, folks, from 4 to 7 at the Adams Street Commons, downtown Tallahassee. You got to go do this. This is a great thing. What do? We make a, there's a general admission of $20, or you can give $100 and get a patron ticket package. I'm sure you can find out about that, on their website. Now, if you go to the website for this event, it's jazzforjustice.org. Our guest this morning, Mary Deakle, telling us all about this Jazz for Justice Festival, a fundraiser for Legal Services of North Florida Incorporated. Stay with me, folks. We've got ABC News coming up at the top of the hour, and we will be back right after that. Mary, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week, find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, your humble host here bringing you all the news around town and around the region having to do with the very cool things, the very cool people that bring Tallahassee such an amazing diversity of talent and inspiration and perspiration. We've got festivals going here and there. We are festooned, I would say, with lots of options. And, man, a great way to find that, by the way, is if you go to TallyConnection.com. The calendar just keeps getting more and more crowded with activity. And on a weekend like this, we've got the Lemoyne Chain of Parks Art Festival, Lemoyne Center for the Visual Arts, and our good friends Ann Kozaliski, and we've got Kelly Dozier, who are going to be with me in this hour, to talk at length, not only about the festival itself, which in and of it as a topic is a great topic, because it tells you so much about how much this town is changing and has changed. But as well, some of the reasons why this festival is so important to the life of the community and the region. So that'll be a good conversation. In news, you know, we were troubled by hearing of this fire up there in Havana earlier in the week. 40 people were left homeless, effectively, because of this fire in an apartment building. And the way the story reads, looks like there was some negligence involved. Hard to say. Nobody's really saying too much at this point. But, you know, most of these folks that are without a place to sleep are children. You know, why is it that they are the ones that are the victims? But we are certainly reaching out to those folks, hoping that they can find adequate shelter. The Red Cross has been there helping with food and shelter and such, and until they can find a more permanent solution. You know, it reminds us, in fact, it's easy to neglect how much we take for granted, I guess,
fire safety among those things. I mean, and we're constantly having to look around here in our studios and make sure that we have done the proper thing. Had fire marshal was here earlier this week and looking out for us, going through and checking everything, make sure we're safe. Appreciate those folks, Tallahassee Fire Department. Good people, work pretty hard and put themselves at risk more often than not. And I like that. I mean, well, I like the fact that somebody's watching out for me. I don't like them having to be out there at risk in any case. But nonetheless, that is their challenge, and they do it with such great devotion. We are fortunate. Well, what else has been going on around town? Have you noticed that the traffic has been a bit lean? I mean, I don't know exactly the reason for that, but I have a feeling that a lot of those folks that were here a month ago have already made their case and have gone home related to the legislative session that is still ongoing. But in that regard, we have seen then a sort of interesting turnaround in which the legislature has occupied most of its time with some of the lesser issues. We had a couple of opportunities even last week with Bob McKnight being with us and Bill Cotterell. I mean, you know, McKnight's point was there's only one bill that they absolutely have to pass, and that's the budget for the year, right? So if nothing else happens, they got to move on that. And that's the one thing they really had not come down on. Meanwhile, it seemed to be a lot of effort being given to a lot of other issues, particularly in relation to the social causes and concerns. Not that those aren't, I'm sure, of great concern, but you know what, folks? If you don't have the funding allocated appropriately across the board, man, it gets tough. Well, in that regard, news was announced earlier in the week. Governor Scott decided to sue the federal government over a low-income pool. He's recognizing the fact that the feds are holding up on monies that the state needs because of their unwillingness to release those funds. And he's saying, well, come on, guys. You know, how are we supposed to do this? And so when you read the story out of the newspaper, it talks about this latest escalation of a complicated standoff between the federal government and the state of Florida, particularly the governor. And this was announced on Thursday that he plans to sue federal officials for tying funding for some hospitals and other health care providers to Medicaid expansion. Well, what does that mean? Well, the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services tried to link an extension of the low-income pool, or LIP program, to whether the state expands Medicaid coverage. Okay, so quoting the governor here, our citizens already pay federal taxes that go into the federal LIP program. In a statement released by the governor's office, President Obama has decided that the state must take on a larger Medicaid program, forcing our taxpayers to pay even more to government. So there's the debate. Again, that was released on Thursday this week. Courtesy of the good folks at Tallahassee Democrat. So continue to follow that story, folks, because that's your pocketbook right there. That's where it comes down to. Folks, so we are fortunate that we have so many good sponsors here. And among those are friends over there at A Country Rose Florist, who do such a fine job for all of their customers. If you haven't had an opportunity, check them out online, acountryroseflorist.com, for gifts, floral arrangements, from the very simplest ideas to the most grand. And they do a lot of weddings, too, by the way, wedding catering and all that goes on. Annette McGuffey and her crew at A Country Rose Florist here in Tallahassee. Well, we do have the very lovely Katie Gibson standing by with news of this week's events. So without any further delay, here's Katie Gibson with this week's events in a minute.
The Shakespeare Festival will be happening at Cascades Park today until 10 p.m. The event will feature all things Renaissance-related, such as face painting, fencing, crafts, costume play, live music, dance, and a special appearance by Sonnet Man, who turned Shakespeare sonnets into hip-hop music. There will also be a performance of A Midsummer Night's Dream, Summer of Love, tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30. FSU's School of Dance presents Days of Dance, with a performance tonight at 8 p.m. in the Nancy Smith Fitcher Dance Theater on FSU's campus. Today is your last chance to catch the FSU Circus this spring. Catch either the 2 p.m. or 8 p.m. performance of their show, Action. The Tallahassee Film Society will be playing two very interesting and exciting films this weekend at the All Saints Cinema in the Tallahassee Amtrak Station. Playing today at 4:30 and tomorrow at 4 and 6 is Cupcakes, which tells the story of a Tel Aviv baker who ends up in the cutthroat world of the pop music business with a group of her friends. Playing tonight at 7 is Hope and Glory, a coming-of-age story about a young boy growing up around London during World War II. The Springhouse Institute will hold a showing of the latest pulp paintings by New York artist Dean Ross this Thursday from 6 to 9 p.m. Meet the artist, tour the house and grounds, and enjoy live music from the Tallahassee duo of Seth and Riles, as well as hors d'oeuvres, adult beverages, and other refreshments. This has been your Events in a Minute for this week. For more information, visit TallahasseeTalks.com. For Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, I'm Katie Gibson.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. They are proficient, and they are reliable. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. You know, I mean, but I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra deep cleaning that you probably would do if you wanted to do it yourself, but you don't have to. You can call Mary Maids. It's the best thing to do. And let me tell you something. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
The best place for conversation, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday that is the Saturday of Saturdays and a weekend of weekends when we are all a-twitter with excitement over the festival that so many of us look forward to. It's I consider it kind of a springtime answer to Christmas, you know, because there's just so many goodies waiting for us. We have a chain of parks festooned with stunningly inspiring art of various kinds, various media, artists from around the country that all come together. And this all just sort of happens magically. Right. Well, no, it doesn't. It happens because people work very hard all year long to make this happen. Lemoyne Chain of Parks Art Festival is upon us, and we have the very exciting Ann Kozeliski, who's with us, director of Lemoyne, and the equally exciting and even more impassioned Kelly Dozier. How are you?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
I've done my very best to tee this up for you. You have it. Go.
All right.
So we're talking Chain of Arts Festival. This is now the 400th anniversary, it feels like, right?
This is our 15th.
15th.
The 15th Chain of Parks Art Festival, and it's once again the best one ever. Every year we look at it and try to find ways to make it better than it was before, because we want people to keep coming down
Indeed.
Here and having a wonderful time in the parks and and you know, seeing this wonderful art and all the artists. So again, we're going to have over 150 fine artists displaying their art. They're up in little tents all around the chain of parks. We're going to have just live entertainment, wonderful food, All kinds of cool things going on.
Now, it's happening today, folks. So here we are talking about this festival, and these two young ladies are ready to go. You've got a pretty significant level of organization that goes in to make this happen, and a lot of volunteers. How many people are involved in making this happen?
Oh, hundreds.
Yeah.
Hundreds of
people.
I mean,
this is in addition to the artists. These are the people making it all come together.
Absolutely. Yeah. Kelly has a very finely tuned staff that actually starts working on the festival the day the festival ends.
You know, I watched her this morning when she came into the studio. She had that cattle prod in her hand.
Yeah.
And I wondered why.
But it has the Mad Dog logo on it. You know?
Marketing. It's all about
it
branding.
It's branding,
it?
You know.
Absolutely right.
No need to prod these folks. These are amazingly dedicated people who love the festival, and you have to love the festival in order to do the work that they do, because they're mostly volunteers.
Is that what happened to you? You fell in love with this
thing? I fell in love, and I'm just stuck. You know, I'm stuck in a good place. You know, it's just so much fun, and it's addictive. You know, once you get into it, you just want to keep making it better, and it's just so much fun. And that's what these people do. There's about 20 of us that start meeting right after the festival's over each year and plan for the next one. What can we do better? How did this go? How did that go?
Yeah, that's when it's all fresh in your mind and you're making notes and all that sort of thing. As a festival, and I mean, this town is known for having a lot of festivals, and there are some other events going on even this weekend. Andy, you see that as conflict, or is it collaboration, or I mean, what's happening in this town? There's just so much going on.
Well, I love it. It increases the pulse of the community that we have so many successful events. Yeah. I mean, every now and then you get something that comes up and it doesn't come back the following year, but when they actually will come to us and say, hey, you know, we would like to plan our festival on your weekend. Mm-hmm. Is that okay with you?
Sort of a compliment there.
Yeah, it's a compliment. Yes, it is. And then we, of course, you want to drill down a little deeper to find out just how close. But it's all good. It's all good for the community. And it attracts the different tastes that people have.
Well, isn't that
true? You know, some people are more of the literary, some are more of the musical, and some are more of the visual arts.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that we continue to show not only Tallahassee, but the surrounding area that we have an amazing core of creativity.
It is astounding. And regardless of your orientation, we'll say, visual or performing art, here we have this jewel right here in Tallahassee that has some national acclaim, doesn't it, Kelly?
Well, we're getting there. We're definitely have regional acclaim, and artists look for us from all over the country, look to apply and want to participate in
That's
our festival. And they know it to be a friendly festival for artists and a good place for them to be.
Yeah. And you know what I like about that, too, is the fact that you're presenting what I would say is a better view of, or a better demonstration of, the real Tallahassee, right? So that as people begin to look in our direction, they're seeing something more than what they may have seen in a headline in a newspaper or on an evening newscast. They find out, wow, there's a really cool town.
Well, I'll tell you, I've got to say the setting for this festival is right out of Hollywood. It is picture perfect. Mm. When you've got, you're in the South, and your artwork is placed under a draping oak tree that is just cascading with Spanish moss. I mean, God.
Yeah, you know? It doesn't get any better.
It doesn't get any better than that.
By the way, I meant to ask you that. Will you be dressed as Scarlett O'Hara this year?
Well, frankly, my dear.
A wild rumor. Because I am ready for you.
I will
be there.
Baby, oh,
absolutely.
Baby.
I've got my Clark Gable thing going on.
Yeah.
And I've been rehearsing my lines.
Yeah.
So.
But my body has never really sort of complimented the whole hoop skirt thing, but.
Mine neither.
We'll see what we can do.
Okay. Well, so. Folks, here we're talking about Chain of Parks Art Festival. It is this day and tomorrow, a weekend of some of the best art in the country happening right here in our beloved Tally Town, courtesy of the very fine people at LeMoyne Art, the LeMoyne Center for the Visual Arts.
Correct.
I said that properly,
yes.
Didn't I? Okay. And we've got Kelly Dozier, who... I think we'll heal up okay. She's stalwart. I really admire her. And then, of course, our very good friend, Ann Kozulewski. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on this Saturday in Tallahassee. Stay with me. We've got more coming up with these two fine young people.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Kelly Dozier, Ann Kozulewski, LeMoyne Center for the Visual Arts, presenting to us and to the world the Chain of Parks Art Festival that's happening today and tomorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've not dialed this in, I'm begging you, please don't let this go by. Take your neighbors, your kids, your dog. Your dog would be welcome. Make sure the dog is on a leash. That's helpful. But don't let this escape your attention. You may not be an art lover in your mind, and maybe you're not going down there with your checkbook in hand, but that would be nice. Regardless, go and just soak in the good energy that you're going to find among these artists. I mean, just that alone. And your fellow Tallahasseans, many of whom are just like you, going, "Hey, I don't know about art, Martha, but I know what I like. And I like that sculpture right there. That's a nice piece of work. What is that anyway? Is that a dog or a bird? This is the kind of experience you get to have. And doesn't that broaden our perspective a bit, don't you think, Ann? I mean, we find ourselves sort of opened up then to...
Well, the other thing about the Chain of Parks Art Festival, which, by the way, is in its 15th year, there's something for everyone. We have live entertainment throughout the entire time schedule of the festival.
Yeah.
There is food.
Galore. And I love galore.
Yeah,
one of my favorites.
Galore with a little sauce, you know.
I'm saying.
You got to have it, yeah. And we have libation there for the adults.
Dear Lord.
Yes. And we also have an extended children's art festival
this
year. Yeah, wow. And it's going to be beautiful. It's going to really be an event, and we have Whole Foods that is sponsoring a chalk
art festival.
Chalk art festival.
Be on Gadsden Street.
Yep.
God.
So it's come down, take a look.
Be a part of it.
Be a part of exactly. Get comfortable with it, and once you can get comfortable with that, then you understand that piece of artwork a lot better.
You know, you said that the setting itself is really a perfect venue for this sort of thing, and it is. It, mm-hmm. it seems to me that it brings to us a greater tangible experience of what is Tallahassee. And Kelly, it seems to me too, your company, Mad Dog Construction, isn't that right? Mad Dog Construction,
that's it. Yep.
Right? This is right in your wheelhouse. This is an expression, it seems to me, of your mission as a company. I think you've said that your slogan is building more than buildings. What's your slogan?
Yes, more than buildings.
More than buildings.
And because Mad Dog Construction is a wonderful builder and contractor, but we do more than that.
Yeah.
We build relationships. We build a vibrant community. That's very important to us because this is our community.
Yeah.
And so we look for opportunities to support the arts and culture in our community, as well as human services, all the fun things that go on in our community that make it special.
That's awesome.
That's what brings people to Tallahassee,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
and makes it a place where people want to settle down and raise their families.
You know, and you've got some wonderful sponsors too. Mad Dog is among those, and I think you guys do such a great job in that capacity. In giving so much back. But then you've got all of the various media outlets. I know Skip Foster in the newspaper, they're right there with you. Channel 6 Television, our good friend Ron Sachs is involved. I mean, this really pulls from all kinds of different parts of the community, doesn't it?
It really does. Mm-hmm. And one of my roles, other than chairing the festival, is to bring the sponsors.
Oh.
And I've done this. This is my ninth year. And sponsors are now calling me, asking if they can be involved. That's how this festival has grown. And
yeah.
the quality of it is being recognized by the community.
There we go.
And more people come out. You know, last year it was cold and rainy. Mm-hmm. And we had a terrific turnout from the community. The artists did a great show. They sold well. And that really told us as a community has embraced this festival as something that they're going to come out and experience. They look for it every year, and they're not going to miss it because of a few raindrops. So this is very exciting to us, and it helps us just keep on working
That's
on it,
very
making
cool.
it better. So.
You know, for those of us who tend to wax a bit philosophical about such things, and especially those who are in the business of we'll say, analyzing how communities grow. How does an organization influence the growth of and the style of a community? So here a couple of years back, we had J.T. Burnett and Kim. They were out there with Imagine Tallahassee. Well, that's a great message to this community. And for me, the real message was stop and think. Which is something that most of us don't do. Certainly I don't do and don't do very well. It's tough for me to just stop and imagine what can Tallahassee be, or even more importantly, who are we? And I remember JT sitting here with us and talking about Tallahassee finding its spot on the wall. And as opposed to trying to be like Austin or, you know, Memphis or Minneapolis or anybody else. Now, that's like telling you, Kelly, I want you to be more like Anne. No.
Don't go there, Kelly.
That's right. Anne's like, hey, there's
no,
enough of me.
One of a kind. Yeah,
right, yeah.
We don't, but the fact is, Tallahassee is finding its way, and you're helping us do that. But again, Mad Dog's been doing that for a long time. Your participation, not just in this festival, but in this community, what does that look like from your side? How are we different, would you say, in 2015 to maybe back at the turn of the century, 2000, or 15 years it has gone by?
Yes.
There's been a lot of growth, a lot of change. How have we changed, do you think?
Well, I think our community has really embraced quality of life and how important it is. You know, through the Blueprint 2000 efforts and Cascades Park coming online,
yeah.
people are really looking for that enriched kind of life experience where they do have music and art and even pedestrian opportunities so that you can walk places and not have to get in your car everywhere. Right. You know, it just feels really different. It feels like we're coming into our own. And the young folks have really embraced it and become active, and their voice is being heard and how Tallahassee needs to look like. I think it's all very exciting.
That we have to have. There's got to be more to living than just making a buck and trying to knock that out every day. You got to have a way to feel as though your life matters and the things that you're a part of are significant, right? So when that begins to happen in the art world, we find a commonality. You know, the folks that were all upset about this segregated community, and here Tallahassee tops that list of MSAs that are segregated in our lifestyle. Well, it's true. And, you know, and when I asked several folks who've been on the show recently, I said, what do you think about that? Well, the comment was, yeah, we know that. So what? So what are you going to do about it? Well, that's a great question. What are you going to do about it? Here's my commentary. My commentary is you are doing something about that because you're providing us a no-cost opportunity to participate in something that is integrated. It's pulling everybody together, mm-hmm. and it's a celebration.
It really is, and for all ages, too. You know, downtown really is where our city connects. You know, there's a north side and the south side, east and west, but downtown is the hub, is the middle. So that's where we are, so it's convenient for everybody to come. It welcomes everyone, and we have this amazing children's festival that's been planned with 10 pop-up studios of art for all the kids to do, and it's all free. It's a gateway for kids to express themselves in art and see, hey, you know, I kind of like working with this clay. I really like this glass or this paint. All kinds of media are going to be there for them to experience. It reflects the grown-up festival there with all the artists. And, you know, it's just a great place for the community to come and connect and meet.
What a cool thing. Folks, we're talking with Kelly Dozier and Ann Kozoliski. The topic, the Chain of Parts Art Festival here this weekend starts here just shortly. So you ought to be getting dressed and heading down there quickly. So stay with me. We've got a little bit more, and we'll be right back. This portion of our show is brought to you by The Green Room. Heather Baker and company, this is an amazing person. Right here in our very own town of Tallahassee, Heather Baker is award-winning, having spent her entire career in hair. And I mean, she really knows how to make you look great for you, not try to make you look like somebody else. And yes, she is officially the hairdresser for Tallahassee Talks. I'm telling you, if I can go in there, guys, listen, stop fooling around with the chop shops around town. Get involved with somebody who really loves this craft. That's what she does, and it's called The Green Room on Lake Ella. They're located at 1425 North Monroe, right there at Lake Ella. You can reach her at 425-5222, or just go to her Facebook page, The Green Room on Lake Ella. It's the best thing you can do for your look this week.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We are back and we're talking about the LeMoyne. It's not the LeMoyne. I always do it. It's LeMoyne Center for the Visual Arts, the Tallahassee's celebrated event, the Chain of Arts Art Festival. It's happening today and tomorrow. In fact, we're scurrying out of here, folks, because the festival began here at 10 o'clock this morning. So you need to get there now. You're going to miss. And we've got some really neat stuff that's coming this year for the first time, right? You mentioned the chalk art.
Yes,
that's
yes.
courtesy of
Whole Foods
right?
Tallahassee, Whole Foods Market, Tallahassee.
Yeah. And some other neat things. Tell us about that.
Yes. You know, people have often asked, you know, what's LeMoyne? Why is LeMoyne named LeMoyne? Where'd that name come from? Well, Jacques LeMoyne is the first European artists to come to Florida and sketch the natives and the fauna and flora that's here and take that back to Europe. So all those, whenever you look in history books, you see representations by LeMoyne that he sketched.
Interesting.
Because he was the first one here.
Chronicling then the natural world. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Back in the 1500s and taking that back to Europe. And so when LeMoyne was founded over 50 years ago, Al Block, its first president, picked the name LeMoyne because LeMoyne is the capital city of Florida's art center. So so that's where the name came from. Well, at the festival, we are going to have Theater with a Mission bringing LeMoyne, Jacques LeMoyne, to life. And in fact, there are going to be three Jacques walking around the festival this year.
So we have street theater.
We have street theater, and they're walking around in full character.
Can I be in that?
Yes, you're it. I mean, you kind of look like a Jacques to me.
I could. But, I could be the friar.
Yep.
And I'll shave my head.
I'm telling
and wear
you,
a brown frock.
It
is so exciting. So
do it.
He was a French Huguenot, and so they are fully costumed, and they will represent his life cycle. There's a young LeMoyne, there's a middle-aged LeMoyne, and an older LeMoyne, and they're going to be greeting people. They'll be available for photo ops and just, you know, tying it together with the history of Florida and LeMoyne and art, and it's amazing.
Kelly, you're killing me.
Are you excited now?
And you get a sticker.
Can we just stop this and go? Do we have to keep talking?
When you meet him too, Brian.
Yes.
Sweet.
Yes.
Oh, man. Okay, so I'm either going to do my Rhett Butler or Brett Rutler, either way.
Yeah.
Well, this is very, very cool. When you think of, you had something you want to say?
Well, I was just going to say we also have, you know, we provide opportunities for everyone, visually or musically. But we also opened this up for emerging artists.
Ah.
And every year we invite three emerging artists to join us. When you go to these art festivals,
right,
and the artist is all set up in their tent and they've got their display up there,
right,
I mean, that takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of money, and that's just for them to get there. Now, there's a booth fee that they pay, there's a jurying fee. I mean, this is real world. This is what every artist goes through.
It is a business commitment from them.
Exactly. Yep. And every artist who is there has gone through this process. Hmm. Well, a lot of people who come fresh out of college or art schools or whatever, they're just first starting on this road.
Yeah.
They don't understand this. They don't know what really goes into this.
Right.
So as an opportunity, the Chana Parks Art Festival has opened up three slots for students. We provide the tent.
We do.
And
they
provide their own setup. They jury in. They have to jury in, but the fees are waived. So they will be in the environment. They'll be all together in the same location.
They will. You can see them. They'll have little flags that indicate emerging artists.
So, but they will be there with other professional artists who they can go really soak up all information, because the creatives are just, they are happy to talk about their work. They, for the most part, will tell you, oh, well, this is better to do it this way. You know, they're there to help. They're it's a real community.
And when you say juried in, that means that they have to go through.
They have to submit a slide.
The same process.
Same process.
And then are those judges, right,
who
look at that work and decide whether or not it needs to be included.
Yeah. So like all the other artists who participate, they are juried in. These are fine artists that have to compete to get into the festival.
I see.
There's also $10,000 in awards that is given out each year to the artists.
Really?
So we actually have judges walking through, and they judge the art. And
do you write that check? I mean, how does that happen?
We write those checks.
Out of your Kelly Dozier account? Is that how that goes?
She's that
I would
giving.
Love to
almost,
get in line for
but no.
It feels that way. No.
The Chain of Parks Art Festival, and of course, you know, the funds that pay for this come from our generous sponsors, community grants, and the booth fees that the artists pay.
Yeah. You know, we have so many great opportunities in this town to come together. This is certainly one of the most precious, I think, and open. There's just no barriers here for anybody. You know, if you're not into politics, well, maybe Village Square just isn't your deal, right? If you're not into sports or whatever, that's not your. Who cannot enjoy going out on a Saturday or a Sunday, or both, Saturday and Sunday, and seeing some of the world's best examples of art, right? Mm-hmm. Some of the local artists showing their work as well, and food, entertainment,
right.
Street theater, stuff for the kids. Man.
We've also got this year something that we added in the actual Lemoyne tent is we have six local artists that will be sharing their history of their media, their work, their inspiration from 1 to 3 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday both. They come, they'll bring examples, they'll even demonstrate their art medium. We've got the Master Craftsman Studios. They'll be coming, bringing samples
Fantastic.
Of their product. They're the ones that did the spear and the roundabout.
Yeah, and the walk there along, isn't it, Pensacola in front of...
The Freedom Walk.
The Freedom Walk, thank you.
Oh my God, that is fabulous.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes. Of which, one of Lemoyne's founders is on that sidewalk, Clifton Lewis.
Look at that.
She was one of the four women who founded Lemoyne.
Wow. Folks,
so yeah, it is a festival for everyone.
It just gets better and better and better and better. Next year, though, I would like to have a special area for my dog. My dog, her paw work is amazing. So
we'll work on that.
She works in organic materials.
I'll bet.
A lot of red clay.
Uh-huh.
But man, it's all over the house. It's fantastic.
Yes.
You know, and so we don't clean up after her. We just let those paw prints kind of.
We love dogs.
Become part of, right.
And they love the festival.
Yes, they do.
Folks, there's so much to love here. I hope you've gotten this clearly. We're heading there now, so you better do the same. The Chain of Parks Art Festival in progress at the very easy to find downtown Chain of Parks there along Park Avenue, Monroe Street. The parking is not difficult, and the terrain is really pretty cool. So you'll be fine. Be sure to make it a part of your weekend, and we look forward to seeing you. Kelly, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Brian.
What
this has been fun.
And Ann Kozalewski. Wow.
It's
you just
always
keep
fun,
getting
Brian.
Better, kid.
Oh, back at
I'm
you.
So impressed. Folks, this is what we do, and we're glad you were part of it. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. And our Director of Guest Relations, Mindy Clark. I'm Brian Cerny, inviting you to be here again next Saturday morning at 93.3 FM on your dial. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Truckin' Hawk Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truckin' Hawk Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. Come truck it up with me this week, and I'll save you money. Get your deluxe detail package, complete window tinting, and heavy-duty floor mats starting at $339.95.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. Their cars, number one by far.
You'll save big bucks on the package, and I'll even throw in a great pair of free sunglasses. Come on, truck it up with us this weekend and bring your cars too. You're gonna love it.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop. We always aim to